This is the beginning of Part 5 titled, How to Use Your Prospect's Buying Code Once You've Got It. After you've figured out your prospect's buying code, you'll need to know how to present it to them in just the right way. Although this finishing step is simple, it takes a bit of psycholinguistics. Ken calls this the convincer mode, and it involves determining the kind of sensory system your prospects prefer, along with the psychology of language that will motivate it. Key concepts from Audio 5. How to talk to your prospect once you've figured out their sensory system. Additional tips that will get people excited about the sale. How to look for nonverbal signs from your prospect that you're doing everything right. Although every prospect has a different buying code, you should be able to figure them out within the course of a short conversation. But like anything else, it's going to take a little bit of practice to perfect it. And we're confident once you practice it and master it, you'll be closing clients more than ever before. Now let's get going.
The last one of these motivation keys you're going to see is called convincer mode. And when we say mode, what we really mean by that is what sensory system is somebody using? Are they using vision? Are they using sound? We're talking about the five senses when we talk about the convincer mode. Sight, sound, taste, touch. Now, typically people aren't going to use taste, for example, as a convincer mode. People are going to use either sight, sound, or feeling. They're going to use one of those three modes. And the way we're going to find that out is we're going to ask the person, how will they know? For example, how will they know when they found the right car? How will they know when they found the right house? For selling jewelry, how will they know when they found the perfect ring? And they'll tell us. And when they tell us, we're going to be listening. And if they say, well, they're going to know it because it's just going to look just perfect, I'm going to know, oop, visual. If they say, well, I'll know because it'll just feel right, then I know, kinesthetic. They're noticing that. This is really important because as I'm playing back their strategy to them, I want to use that particular mode as I'm talking to them. This is really, really important. And this is where sometimes, again, the sales process goes a little astray. If somebody's convincer mode is visual and they're telling me, I'm going to know it's the right car because it's just going to look right to me. And I'm the car salesman, and at the very end, I found them exactly the right car, and I'm going through the process of, you know, feeding back the strategy to them, and I say to them, okay, how does that feel? They're going to look at me odd, because feeling has nothing to do with it. It's look. So I want to say to them, how does that car look? How's this one look to you? You know, we've got the deal all done. How does that look? If we get the deal all done and I go, okay, how does that feel? They're going to really look at me strange. By the same token, if they're a feeling type of person and I get the deal all done and I hand them the contract and I go, how does that look? Again, we're going to start getting some of this unconscious resistance because it's not about how it looks. It's about how it feels. Now, you're going to notice that right under convincer mode there, it says times. Because what happens unconsciously is we have to play this buying strategy through our mind unconsciously a certain number of times before we come to that absolute total conviction that this is the right thing to do unconsciously. Occasionally, somebody will have just a one-time convincer mode. Most of the time, somebody will probably have a two or a three-time convincer mode. Occasionally, it might even be more than that. It's pretty rare that I see somebody more than that. It's pretty rare that I see somebody that's only one time. Most of the time, people's convincer mode is like two or three times. So, what we're going to have to do is we've literally got to play back this buying code to them a certain number of times. We've got to walk them through it two times, or we've got to walk them through it three times. Each time we walk them through them, we're going to get that head bob. We're going to see they're going to make the buying decision, yes. But where we're going to get that total motivation, where we're going to get that total conviction to actually make the decision, is once we've done it a certain number of times. And like I said, it's kind of rare that somebody's mode is only one time. I've seen it happen, and boy, those people are a pleasure to sell, because literally all you have to do is fire off the buying strategy and they're like, okay, done, let's go. Whereas when it's a two or a three time, sometimes we've got to fire it off several times. Occasionally somebody's buying strategy is done over a period of time, for example, over a certain length of time. For example, it'll take them several days, or it might take them a week to make that decision. That's a little bit rarer strategy. You won't see it as much, but occasionally you'll see that. And again, they're going to tell you that. And even rarer still is the person whose buying strategy is literally, as far as the convincer of it, is literally never, or it's what we call consistently. And in this particular case, they're never totally sure or convinced. It's like we have to convince them over and over and over again. And luckily for us, it's very seldom that we come across somebody like this. It's literally, you know, a very small percentage of the population. But we can still sell to these people. And we can sell very elegantly with their buying strategy. We just have to use certain words with them. We have to, as we're playing back the buying strategy, as we're talking to them, as we're presenting them with the details that they need, for example, if it's about the look, if it's about, you know, the gold, we have to say things like, okay, every time you look at this gold, or each time, and literally, if we use these words, like each time, and every time, and you'll find every time, and you may find consistently, when we use these kind of words, it literally will get their unconscious mind tapped into that consistent basis. And they'll start to kind of play the strategy unconsciously out into the future over and over and over again, so they'll feel good about the sale. When I start to use this wording like each time and every time and you will find every time, we're starting to get in a little bit to what I call that psycholinguistics. And it can be an important part of selling. And if you've never really studied the psycholinguistics and any of that, you might want to take a look at it's a little bit more advanced than what we're talking about here, but it can really help in the sales process, learning how language affects somebody unconsciously and learning how we can literally embed suggestions and how we can direct someone's thinking through the words we use. So let's review the steps to eliciting somebody's buying strategy again. First, we're just going to establish rapport with somebody. If I'm a business consultant, I might meet with them, and one of the first things I might say is, wow, what a fascinating business. You know, I've often wondered about this kind of business. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started? If I'm a car salesman and somebody walks onto the lot, I might ask them, gee, you know, is that your car over there? There's lots of different ways to establish rapport. So initially, and natural-born salespeople are really good at this, In the psycholinguistics, we go into a little bit more about how to establish rapport. And quite honestly, as you get into the buying strategy, you're going to establish tremendous rapport. But it can be really important at the very, very beginning to establish a little bit of rapport. And it really helps. Step number two is to set it up, to pre-frame it, to get people into the same exact mental state of buying. Get them back into the last time they bought. So again, step one, rapport. Step two are these setup or pre-framing questions. I don't walk up to somebody and just go, "How did you decide to buy your watch?" I'm going to walk up to them and I'm going to say something like, "Wow, nice watch. I really like that. That's different. It's interesting. How did you decide to buy that?" See, when I set it up that it's, I like it, that it's new, that it's interesting, now when I ask them how they decided to buy it, it flows. And that automatically brings us to step three, which is, how did you decide to buy? And that's that first question, right across the top there. We're eliciting the buying strategy. As we're eliciting that buying strategy, we say, how did you decide to buy blank? And again, you have to ask the question exactly, and it's pretty specific for each industry. So we're going to ask that question exactly. They're going to give us a code word. And then we're going to say, okay, anything else? Then we're going to repeat it back to them. We're going to go, anything else? And when we get a number of things, hopefully they're done. And at that point, again, we can repeat it back to them and say, anything else? And they're going to go, nope, that was it. Literally, that's what they say. They'll go, nope, that was it. Then our next step is we can literally start to define each criteria here. This step and the next step, we can interchange. So, for example, if the first thing they said to us about the buying strategy was, it was about how it looked, then I want to find out what looked meant to them. If the buying strategy was a car, and I asked them, how are they going to decide to buy a car? And they say, price is really important. Then I'm going to ask them, okay, can you tell me a little bit more about what's important about price to you? And we're going to go down the column and fill that in. Once we've got that filled in, or once we've got the top filled across, we need to now put it in the right order. So we've got to go, okay, which is more important, number one or number two? So, for example, if as I'm asking them, how did you decide to buy a car, or how will you decide, to buy this car, and they say, well, it's got to be the right price, and it's got to be really dependable, and it's got to be economical. Now I've got those three things. So one, two, three across the top there. What I have to do is I've got to put those in the right order. So I've got to go, okay, which is more important, the right price or economical? Which is more important, economical or dependable? And by asking them which is more important, I'll get things in the right order. So, I need the order, and I also need what each thing means. Once I've got that, now I've got the map pretty well filled out. And again, as I'm asking those questions, I'm listening, and I'm going to be noticing what those motivation keys are. They're going to be telling me whether they're moving towards or away from. I'm going to be listening, and a lot of times I can hear that convincer mode right off the top. They're going to be telling me. If I don't hear it as I'm going through and eliciting them, then ask them directly. Ask them. And you've got the questions right there in your workbook. Once I've got that all back, once I've got this sheet filled in, I've got their buying code. I've got the hot buttons. I've got the words that they're using that are really going to push the emotional, unconscious things. I know the exact order that I need to put it in. All I need to do at that point is go through my benefits. All I need to do is go through the things that I'm trying to sell them and put it in that right order. So, for example, if I've got a car, all I need to do is now go through the sales presentation, and I need to talk about price first. I need to talk about how this car gets good economy, and then I need to go into how this car is dependable. And if I put it in the exact right order, they're going to automatically, at that point, go, okay. And they're automatically going to buy. Now, in the past, I've often gotten the question, well, you know, what percentage of people buy, or how many people are going to buy using this strategy? And my answer to that is, literally, if they've told you what their unconscious strategy is, and you give them the information that they're looking for in the exact order and sequence that they want it in order to make the buying decision in how they make the decision unconsciously, every single person is going to buy. Now, is it realistic to expect that every single person is going to buy? Well, yes and no. The only people that, there's only three times that I could possibly think of where this doesn't cause somebody to automatically buy. Number one, you don't really have their code. Maybe you've missed a step. Maybe you didn't get the beginning of it, or maybe you don't have the ending of it, or something's missing there. The surest way to know whether or not you've got their buying code is to repeat it back to them and notice that bobblehead. If you repeat it back to them and you get the bobblehead, you've got the code. So the first reason people might not buy is because you don't have their code. But if we've got their code and they're giving us the bobblehead, that's not the reason they're not buying. Second reason I've ever seen that people wouldn't buy is because they literally can't. Let's say I'm selling investments and the minimum investment amount is $10,000. Maybe the person hasn't told me, but they only have $9,000. Or maybe they're coming in to talk to me and they're doing it because they're going to get an inheritance. And they haven't told me that they haven't gotten it yet. Maybe they've told me they do have it. You know, sometimes people don't tell the truth. So, maybe they just don't have the capability. If I'm a business consultant and I'm trying to sell the business owner, maybe he actually has a partner and he can't make the decision without his partner's approval. So, maybe they can't actually buy. In that case, you can have the strategy perfectly. You could be playing it back. The person could be nodding their head and doing the whole bobblehead thing, and they can be wanting to say yes, and they actually can't. They don't have the capability to say yes. They either don't have the money, or they literally don't have the authority to say yes. And in that case, you can have the strategy perfectly, but they can't buy. The only other example I can think of that people don't buy when you've got their strategy is if we're an unethical salesperson. And this is something that I constantly would emphasize, and I would tell you, don't be unethical. Some of the stuff that I'll teach you with the psycholinguistics and some of the stuff that you're learning here with this buying code, it's almost like magic, and you can use it in phenomenal ways to literally push people's unconscious buttons. And they'll do things that without even thinking about it. But one of the reasons why they might not buy is because your product doesn't match their code. And this is where that unethicalness comes into it. Let's say, for example, that, you know, the person is buying the car and a large part of their buying strategy was value. I might be able to push their buttons enough, but if, you know, my car isn't a great value and value is one of their strategies, I shouldn't be trying to sell it to them. If, you know, part of their buying strategy is value, then chances are I shouldn't be selling them a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or a Ferrari. And did any of you catch something that I did right there? I took the word value and automatically told you what I thought value meant. See, this is where it becomes really important not to contaminate, because it might not be true that value has anything to do with the way I think of value. Somebody could walk in to the Ferrari dealership and they could be giving the strategy and they could say, I want a really good value. And then we ask them, what does that mean? Maybe they say, I want to get it for a good enough price that it'll stay that value, that it won't ever go down in price. And to me, that's a really good value. This is where not contaminating comes in, and it's really, really important. But let's go back to the idea of why they're not going to buy. And that last reason they're not going to buy is literally our product might not be the right product for them. It might not match their strategy. And in that case, I can quickly go through and get their strategy. I don't need to waste any time trying to sell them. I know, my product's not a fit. It's not a match. I'm not going to waste my time and energy. This is so much more elegant and so much faster and so much quicker than sitting there and trying to sell somebody when I don't even know what their strategy is and I don't know it's going to be a mismatch. And I'm constantly kind of telling them all the benefits and the features and going through my sales presentation from step one to step two to step three. And then they give me an objection and then I fire off, you know, my ways of handling that objection and then I try another close. See, I don't need to go through all that hassle if I get their code and I notice, what's important to them isn't a fit with my particular product. Maybe they need to go to the, you know, Toyota dealership. Or maybe my brand of jewelry isn't the right jewelry for them. Or, you know, maybe I'm not the right marketing consultant for them. Because, you know, we're just not a fit here. So, there's really only those three reasons why people won't buy if you've got their buying code. Either you don't have the code, they can't actually buy, or what you're trying to sell them doesn't really match their code. I've included several examples of me eliciting people's buying strategies. Listen to each one of those examples. Listen to the way I phrase the questions. Listen how the person responds. Look at the worksheet. See how I filled it in. See if, as I'm asking the questions and they're responding, if you can hear those code words. I'm going to give you several examples of that. You should listen to those several times until you get pretty good at being able to see the flow of how this works. How I literally, in one or two sentences, oftentimes ask that setup question. Ask them, that's a nice piece of jewelry. How did you decide to buy it? Or I set somebody up with a car question and ask them. Or whether we're talking about somebody's house or an investment. Just kind of listen to each of these several times until you get a real feel for it. Then go out and practice. You really don't want to practice this when it counts. So get your practicing in when it doesn't count. Go up to a friend, find their buying strategy for how they bought their tennis shoes. Find their buying strategy for how they bought their car. Find their buying strategy for how they bought their house. This is like any other skill. You need to practice it until you get good at it. Once you get good at it, it'll become really simple, really easy, and you'll wonder, oh my gosh, how did I ever sell before I knew what somebody's buying strategy was? Last thing, if for some reason the question isn't seeming to fit, or I don't have your industry down, and you've got a specific question, my phone number is right with the package there. Don't hesitate. Give me a call. Now, obviously, I can't spend 3 hours on the phone with you trying to start at the beginning of this and walking you the entire way through it. But I can gladly answer a specific question. I can gladly tell you, chances are, what you're doing wrong or how you're phrasing the question wrong. So if you're having problems with it, don't hesitate to call. I can usually quickly, in probably 10, 15 minutes, you know, figure out exactly what you're doing and get you going the right direction with it. And if we fix that, if you're doing it correctly, you're going to see your closing percent literally skyrocket. Again, it should be literally almost everybody you talk to. As long as they have the capability and as long as your product is a right fit for them, you should close them.
This is the end of part 5. I hope you've enjoyed and benefit from Ken's Unlocking the Buying Code System. For questions, please email Michael at michaelsenoff.com or call 858-274-7851. Thanks for listening.